How you guys doing this morning? All right. Yeah, thank you very much. Happy Father's Day to all you guys. You know, I'm so blessed to get to preach this message today, and this is a Father's Day message, and I just wanted to really encourage everyone here, you know, and like Richie was saying, you know, we have a perfect father that loves us, you know, and I want to share some attributes of what being a good dad is today. But before we do that, I'd like all the fathers to stand up so we can. Being a dad is a tough job. It's the toughest job you'll ever love. Amen. Let everybody extend your hands towards you. Stay standing, guys. Come on now. We're going to honor you today. It's coming. The parade is here. Please extend your hands towards these guys. Father God, we thank you for these fathers. It's such an honor to be one, God. And we thank you for these men that love you, that lead their families. God, refresh them today, God. We pray for a fresh anointing in their spirit, God. We pray for a strengthening in their spirit, God. We pray for wisdom, God. They need wisdom to make decisions, tough decisions, God. We pray for peace over their minds. And God, we pray that you would bless everything that they touch. God, fill these men of God. We thank you for them. We honor them today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 And it's even a bigger deal in this church. And ladies, let me just say something. Ladies, you are strong. You are powerful. Today is Father's Day. I'm going to talk about the guys, okay? Do we have like... We're going to lay that foundation right there. You're strong. You're powerful. You matter. You are important. We're going to talk about the guys. But I'm going to include you because we've all had a dad too. So we're all included in this. But I want to encourage the men today. And check it out. Even if you're a single guy, listen, if you are speaking into anybody's life, You are carrying a dad role. If you're a sponsor or a mentor, you have a dad role, a father figure in that. So there is something for everybody here in this message. You know, a grade school teacher asked one of her students what Father's Day was all about. She thought for a little bit and her eyes got all big. She goes, "Oh, I know. She goes, "Okay, what's Father's Day all about?" She said, "It's just like Mother's Day, but we don't have to get presents." It's okay, we get it, right guys? It's all good. But if there's holes in your husband's underwear, you may want to give him a pack of underwear today. Just good job, buddy. We love you. Change your underwear. Oh, why do I know that? But seriously, being a father is one of the highest callings a man can have. And many times we forget how much a father really affects our lives. Or lack thereof, right? Because some of us, like Richie was sharing, didn't have a dad. And then it greatly affected us. 85% of children with behavioral problems come from a fatherless home. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. The fact is that all of us, whether our father was a good one or a bad one or a non-existent one, we've been affected by our dads. And we must realize this, that they were doing the best they could with what they had. And just like we are. But we also must realize that we have a heavenly father that knows how to father well. So in those moments of I didn't have a dad or you know, I was a horrible dad, and because I can relate to that. You know, there was a time in my life where I was not a good dad. Yes, I went to work and paid the bills, but I was unavailable. You know, my wife raised our kids when she was babies because I was, you know, getting sober, playing rock and roll and doing all these things, even in ministry. You know, I was out of balance. So being a present father is what we want to be. Now, Romans 8:15-16 says this. The spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Hallelujah. So, when we say yes, when we said yes to Jesus, and this is really the, I'm going to give you the umbrella of what I want to really drive home today, is no matter what kind of dad you had, you have a heavenly Father that will restore to you, restore back to you the things that you might have missed by the way your earthly father either parented you or maybe missed out on you completely. God wants to restore all of that in your life. Amen? And he's a good dad. So it's okay. We're all still on the same level, even if you had no example or a horrible example. The playing field is level. Now, I could preach to you for a year on God's love and how much he loves you, and I wouldn't even scratch the surface of how much he truly loves us. You know, some of us have grown up feeling like we never measured up to our earthly dads, you know, and we're seeking dad's approval. He might not even be alive anymore, and you're still trying to seek his approval. I mean, there's things that greatly affect us. And dad, my dad, I'm sure he's listening to this podcast. Dad, I love you. You're a great man. You jacked me up, bro. It's okay. Slater will probably stand here one day. In fact, Slater will stand here one day preaching the gospel saying, Dad, I love you. You're a good man of God. You jacked me up, bro. It's okay because God is good all the time. And I understand that he was doing the best he could with what he had. But thank God. Thank God I wasn't just stuck with what I got. God is not limited to our past. He is not limited to those that we grew up around and were affected by. And even our bad choices, he is not limited to that in us. He speaks a truth over us that reigns for all time. It's about us grabbing onto that truth and believing in ourselves because he already sees us like we are. We truly are. It's about us lining up with that vision that he has, the way he sees us. Today, I would like to share 5 attributes that make a good father. And again, this is not to, in any way, shape, or form, condemn or make anybody feel bad or anything. I prayed about this and I want this because this convicted me too. There's stuff in here. I'm going to read what the ideal godly father looks like for us. And it's meant to encourage us and even convict us a little bit, but in areas of, oh, you know, I could really do better at that. But really, it's about assurance that God is so good and so in love with us that we have a dad that is present, that is not going to leave us, that is going to walk through life with us as we stumble and bumble and go through victories and trials and we sin and repent and back and forth. He is there and he's cheering us on and he's coaching us and he's loving us and he's speaking life into us. He's not bailing on us. Amen. Go ahead and clap for Jesus. It's okay. Jesus. Woo! Number one, a good father is a protector. A father protects his family. He's the head. The Bible says so. He is to lead his family in the way that they should go. A good father is submitted to God. A father stands in front of adversity, in between it and his family, and he carries the weight silently. Now, I know that this is a hard thing to master, because we're men. We hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. Anytime that happens, you know, it's really hard to keep your mouth shut. You know, and we end up blowing up, and we end up freaking out on you, and we end up doing this stuff. But again, this is something that we strive for. And being a protector of our family means that we stand in front of that adversity. Means, like, okay, let me give you an example. Okay, there's not enough money in the account to pay rent, and it's the 31st. And the weight of that is on my shoulders. Now, I have a choice. Do I take it home and I just unleash on my family in fear and in doubt, and it comes out usually in anger and yelling because the kids are annoying me now and the wife's annoying me now? Or do I suck it up? And when I say suck it up, I mean call other men that are in my life and unload on them and just throw up all over my bros. Dude, I am freaking out. I have no idea how I'm going to do this. I am scared. I need prayer, brother, or some ideas. But listen. Yeah, or some extra cash. Or some cash you can loan me, good man of God. Don't be stingy. You know what the Bible says. Preach it, Pastor Chris. But you can go home and be strong. At least look like we're strong, right? Because that's what we want as men. We want to at least look strong to our family. We want them to feel secure. We want them to feel safe. We do. We really do. So the way that we get to do that is we put our faith in Jesus. We do. We put our faith in God. We exercise that. God, you're my provider. You know, I am willing to partner with you and do all that I can and the best that I can down here. But you are in the results business, God. So I will do all I can and the best that I can, and I leave the rest up to you. I'm not going to take that home. I'm not going to throw up on my kids and my wife. If I need to call men to be accountable, fine. But I am trusting you, because you said I could. And I'm leading my family in this way, and I'm leading them towards you. So I place this in your hands, mighty God. See, I get to do stuff like that. As a protector of my home. No weapon formed against me or my family shall prosper. God, I speak that over my family. I protect them. I pray a hedge of protection around my family and my household. We get to do that. So I would encourage you to do that. Jesus protects his family. John 17:9-16. This is kind of a long one, so I'll break it up. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. That's us. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. See, Jesus made a provision for us. He's a good dad. He protected us. He made sure we were going to be okay. Eternally, I understand It's kind of like anything goes down here. We can't predict what happens. Why do good people die? Why does this happen to children and good people? I don't know all that. I don't know all that, but I trust God's heart, and I know He's got a plan. Because He's a good dad through all of it. I know this world is a fallen place, and bad things happen here. That's the way it is. God allows some bad things to happen. God stops other bad things from happening. I don't know what His processing is. I just know that I trust His heart and that it's good. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 12. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so the scripture would be fulfilled. I'm coming to you now. But I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy. That's a good dad right there. Within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. Yep. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. See, God is a good dad. And like any good dad, you don't want to run out in front of your kids and protect them from every little thing in life. They would turn out to be spoiled little brats, even more than they probably already are now. Amen?
Amen?
We want them to experience life. We want them to, you know, make decisions and skin their knee and make, you know, hey, look, Slater, huh? I'll use my son as the example. I love you, son. But he decided he was going to take a semester off and not tell anybody. And he's got two AP courses. The kid is smart as all get out. I haven't ever had to even check on him to do his homework. He was that kid that did his homework and the extra credit. So I haven't been watching him for years because he would just handle his business. Well, he decided that he was going to take a semester off. And he had to pay the price for that. And I let that kid feel every ounce of pain about digging himself out of that hole. I supported him in it. I took him to those extra classes he had to go in the Saturday school, and I was there to help him walk through it, but I made sure that he felt, and I reminded him, sucks, don't it? This sucks. Remember that. Remember that when you go, I don't know, man, if I'm going to do that. Remember that. I go, I'm glad you learned it now. Life doesn't care if you don't feel like showing up. It doesn't care. There's consequences, and you're going to feel everything when you make those choices. God's the same way. He allows us to go through our stuff. He doesn't want to remove us from the world. He says, I got you in it. I got you in your situations. I got you in your messed up relationships. I got you in your messed up thinking. Just give it to me. I want to teach you. I want to be with you. Get into my word. Let me renew your mind. There's some truths and some promises I have for you that you don't know. That if you start operating in that, your relationships will change. Your perception's going to change. The more that you get to know me, says God, the more confident you're going to be and the power more powerful you're going to be, because you'll speak to your situations in your life that they're no longer going to scare you because you know who's on your side. Amen. That is worth an amen. He's a provider. A good dad is a provider. A father provides for his family. Not just financially, like I said before. Just, you know, going to work and earning money. You should have a J-O-B. Amen to that. You should be earning for the family. But you need to provide wisdom, grace, insight, strength, counsel, and friendship. I mean, being a father is a is a valuable, valuable position. I mean, you have your kids and your family are looking to you. You are a hero. Even, you know, I got teenagers now, and it don't feel like I'm a hero. But I know. You know what I'm saying? I know that they, you know what? Can I just share something real quick? I'm going to sidetrack for 1 second because I was, you know, in between services, I got a little Instagram thing. My daughter posted something on Instagram, a picture of me and her, and she called me her best friend. And I was like, she's like 17, so it's like, sorry I didn't get you a present, Dad. You know, that's what she said. That I go, this is it. This is, you just made my day. You know, like, phew. Because some, you know, with teenagers, it's like, are we cool? Do you even like me? You know what I mean? Like, it's okay if you don't. I mean, I'm your dad, but like, geez, man. You know, like, you just don't know where you're at sometimes with them. But praise God. Anyway, back on track. A man provides for his family, and you, it's important. And again, if you never had a dad that took the time to sow into you, you get it, you know. But we don't have to continue like that. We can make changes in our own lives to be that provider, to, you know, make it an important for us to sow into our family. And provide things for them that the world's telling them they need a credit card and a sports car and a boob job, right? We need to be telling them that, you know, look, everything you need is inside of you right now. You know, if it's a girl, you don't need a boy to make you feel okay. If it's a boy, you don't need a girl to make you feel whole. You share your life with them, but you don't need anybody to make you feel whole. You are completely perfect the way you are right now. Amen. So God is our provider. Oh, you know, I'll read 1 Timothy, and this is going to sting a little bit, but 1 Timothy 5:8 says, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Just saying, guys. It's there. It's there in the Word. So, hey, you know, if that's you, start providing wherever you can. It doesn't mean you have to have a certain amount to pitch in. It just means you're pitching in. Amen? God is our provider. In Romans 5:17, for if by the trespass of one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ, our good and perfect Father. He has made provision for you and I to get through life with Him. We get enough grace every day to be exactly who we are in Jesus Christ and be loved and have that open relationship with God, even when we screw up. He gives us enough grace that day to get through that whole day. And that should bring peace over your mind and peace over your physical body and peace into your spirit, knowing that God has sent such provision into your life that you need not worry. What? It sounds unbelievable, right? But that's why Jesus says, don't worry. I got you. I got you. Focus on me. Focus on my precepts. Focus on the kind of person that I speak and call you every single day. A person of more than enough. A person that is rich in mercy and grace and all the other provisions. Everything that you need for life and love is already inside of you. You just need to operate in it. You just need to learn, well, what does that look like? It's right here in the Word. And it's a gift for you to unwrap at any moment, at any time, every day, all day. Number 3. A good father is a promoter. Father promotes his family. He builds the lives of his family, speaking life and encouragement into them. Promotion of this sort is the best way to break generational curses. Just because your dad did the same thing as his dad, and his dad before that, and his dad before that, and his dad before that, does not mean that you have to take this curse any farther. In fact, it starts right here, right now, with you. If that's anger, if that's bitterness, if that's resentment, if that's cheating or lust, or it's been affected by, you know, generation after generation after generation, it stops now. It stops now with you, because God speaks a way, way better life for you. He speaks victory into you. He sees you as a grace giver and so full of forgiveness, and it's like when we say, like, a dead man doesn't get jealous. A dead man doesn't envy. A dead man doesn't get bitter. If I'm truly dead to Chris Jones and I'm alive in Christ, then I don't have time to get jealous. I don't have time to get even angry. Now, again, I'm stuck in this body. I'm stuck here on earth. I strive for that. I strive for that. But when I do, because I will, do things like get angry, I repent and I keep moving. I repent and I keep moving. I make amends where I need to make amends, and I learn, what can I do better through this? Nothing's ever in vain. Amen? Ephesians 6:4 says this: Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. You see, we're supposed to train our children without breaking their spirit. You know, and it's important for dads to do. You know, dads are supposed to train their sons and date their daughters, right? And then the mom would train the daughter in how to be a woman and the things of the womanly, you know, all that stuff. But we're to train our sons how to be men. That, things like manners and morals. I mean, are we sowing that into our kids? Are we taking the time to instill in them godly principles and godly morals? Because we should, right? We really should. We have that authority. Men, as leaders of our homes, that should be important to us. And if it's not, I don't want to condemn you today. Just, hey, make a decision. I'm going to start sowing into my kids. Maybe it's yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Yes, sir, and no, sir. Something like that. Whatever. Whatever it is. Maybe you guys pray before you eat meals and you're instilling that into your kids. There's things that we do that our kids will take for a lifetime, good and bad. I'm saying the more that we purposely parent or purposely, you know, lead, the fruits from that, there will be a harvest, even if you don't see it. Oh my God, we're praying again before we eat. Oh, whatever. Watch. I bet they pray with their kids when they're adults. You know? Something just clicks and you're like, oh my God, I have a little person now. Well, that's what they did. Today's message is saying that we get to change things in our life, no matter what our past, no matter what kind of family we had, or unchurched or churched, or, you know, jacked up or great and holy, whatever it was. We get a fresh new start with God. We get to do it His way, no matter what. But because we get a choice. You know, dads, I want to say this too. Date your daughters. Date your daughters. You might, and this is one of the biggest awakenings for me. It really straightened me up, was having a daughter. I remember when I had Gibson and I saw her in the delivery room, I broke down. Oh my God, I am so sorry for everything that I have ever done to those women. God, please don't let my daughter run into a man like me. Please, God, oh God, please no, keep him away. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Oh God, no. Hey, you know how I do that? I date my daughter. I mean, she called me her best friend today. Whether she meant it or not, she's just like... You know? I want her, but see, I want her to know she don't need a man to make her feel okay. She don't have to strive and do things that she doesn't want to do with her body to try to, you know, get you to like... I don't want her to do that. I want her to... Nope, I'm good. I'm going to save myself for a man that deserves me. That's what I want her to do. You know, I'm okay. Me and Jesus, we're good till he brings him. And he'll love Jesus more than me. That's my goal. That my daughter would have that kind of picker. Now, you know, I have no control over that, so we'll see. Stay tuned. But God is also a promoter and he promotes us. Luke 14:11 says this. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. You see, God doesn't just speak things into our life, but he promotes us. And that's why it says, seek first the kingdom of God, and everything will be added unto you. He's serious. He's like, look, man, you don't need to strive for these things of the world. If yes, you will be a participant in your life, there will be action to be taken. But if you seek me and my face and my precepts and the way that I run my kingdom and my kids and my family, you will not only have peace through this journey called life, through the ups and downs, and there will be some hard ones, my kids, and there will be some great ones. There will be great beauty and adversity and tragedy. It'll be all that, but I will be with you and you will know me through it. And I am faithful to finish what I started in you, God says. He's going to finish. There is more. So our adversities and our trials, they're not in vain. There's always something to that. So we can take rest in that. And we know that, you know, there's always a test before the graduation, right? There's a test before you graduate to the next level. We can look at life like that now. Instead of just like, whoa, it's me, man. I'm just have buzzard luck, bro. Man, you know. It's like, no, I'm going through a tough time. But that means there's good times coming. And I'm going to learn something through this. Hallelujah. This is going to make me better. God, teach me. Let me just learn everything I need to learn so I don't have to do this one again. You know? It's learning it twice that really sucks, right? Number four, a good father is a priest of his home. A father needs a prayer life. You are the head of your family. You should be spending time with God. We need Jesus. You know, we do the best we can with what we have, but I think we all know the best that we got just ain't good enough. You know? The best that God's got is more than enough. So when we take time and we get into prayer and we get into our alone time with God and we're reading his word alone. I mean, there is something very, very beautiful that will happen, guys. You shut out the world, you turn off your phone, you turn off the TV, and I'm challenging you to spend 10, 15 minutes a day with God and see what happens to your life. Get into his word. That 15 minutes, that ain't nothing. It really isn't. But man, that book is sure heavy, isn't it? Wow, there's my Bible. Right there on the coffee table. 100 pounds right there. Sure is big. Open that thing, man. Read it. It's good. There's such good stuff in there. And if you're a man, a father, please, because you draw strength from God that pours out into your family, whether they know it or not. I mean, when the Bible says the man is the head of the family, there is something to that. I am merely challenging us as men to go, yes, like I own my position and I take it very seriously now. That I am the head of my house and I want to lead them correctly in the way that they should go because God has put me in this position and I take it seriously. So it's just a challenge for all of us because there's many things on here, guys, that I need to get better at. But it's there for us. And we have opportunity. And if you're a single mom, you're the priestess of your home. You know, take authority. Preach, you know, pray over your kids, pray over your house. I told first service, anytime that I move, I anoint all the windows, I anoint all the doors, I tell every spirit that's not of God, you got a boogie right now. Get the heck out of my house. Right now. I do that every time because hey, the spiritual realm is real. And hitchhikers do exist. And I don't need that in my house. Messing with my kids, messing with me, messing with my wife. I don't need that. But that's something that's the authority that God's given me, right? I get to go do that kind of stuff. I mean, we need to just remember that we are the priests of our home. You know, we need to be praying for our family. We need to be praying blessings over our situations. And we have the authority to speak at that. I bind you, devil. My kids are going crazy right now. Whatever assignment that you had on them, I break it in the name of Jesus. And I loose God's blessings all over them. Father, I pray they have a radical experience with you. Send one of their crazy Jesus-loving friends to just flip them inside out, speak a word over them, just, you know, wreck their whole day, God. Bless them. Just whatever. I mean, we get to do that. We get to do that. We get to do that. That is an authority, taking authority, and man, I just want everybody to really soak that in and you exercise that because there is no like, you know, okay, because I'm Pastor Chris, I have this special, you know, authority that I get in the spiritual realm that you don't get. That's no. Uh-uh. We all get the same amount. And you have as much authority, and you have as much authority as me. I've just been operating in that. You know, I take advantage of that. I've chosen to believe God at His word. That means I get to do this. Okay, then I'm doing it. Amen. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation." God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. You guys, we are all royalty. We're a family. He's our priest. And the Father can pray a blessing over His family too, just as Jesus did. He's our chief priest. In Hebrews 2:16-18. "For surely it is not angels He helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason He had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that He might make atonement for their sins of the people. Because He Himself suffered when He was tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted." You see, Jesus understands us in our temptation. He's praying for us. He's already made He was such a good priest. He already made atonement for our sins. He already covered our mistakes. We are good with God because we love Jesus. We are in His family. Hallelujah. There's no left or to the right. There's no up, down, sideways. We are children of God and His family, and we are blessed. End of story. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. And lastly, a good father is a prophet. He's a prophet of his home. A father will prophesy over his family. What that looks like is the father speaks to his family's potential. He speaks life into his children. He speaks to their destiny, not their situation. Like our heavenly Father, a father sees the real you. He's not hung up on all the crap going on right now in your life and all the mistakes you're making. He will discipline, yes, but he will encourage because it ain't over till it's over. And he will remind you of your greatness and be your support until you achieve whatever goal you're trying to reach. You see, God sees our potential and he speaks to our destiny. He sees you and I from the end of our lives to the beginning. He knows exactly what's going to happen. So he speaks to our potential, stuff that we don't even see. And as a parent, I need to do that more with my kids. This is the part that convicted me. I have prophesied over my children, but I need to do it more. And you know what? After doing this message, I put hands on my children. And I said, you have excellence inside of you. You have untapped excellence. You can be whoever you want to be. You can do whatever you want to do. You're a giant. And I just speak to them. Speak to them because you remember, like, especially if you never had somebody do that for you. Wouldn't that be nice? That you had at least one person in your life going, yeah, greatness right there. They are just leaking greatness. You know, and cheering for you. Amen. Amen. Listen, we get to do that. And ladies, it's about Father's Day, but hey, soak it up. You too. Prophesy into your family. Speak to their potential and their destiny, not to what's going on right now. You get to do that. You get to do that. God does this. John 16, 13 through 15 says this. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears and what he will and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it's from me that he will receive what he has made known to you. And all that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he's made known to you. God speaks to us. He speaks to our future. He speaks to us in ways of our potential and our destiny. If we have ears to hear, again, this is where we partner with him. Shut out the world. Turn it off. Listen for his voice because he's speaking to you. And it's something that will be life-changing. His words to us, I'm telling you. Let me just share a little story. We got a few minutes, so we're cool. And this is just whatever, okay, guys? But I'm being transparent with you. I love just being real with you because it's cool that I don't have to, like, fake like I'm something that I'm not. Hallelujah. But he speaks to our destiny, right? So Tuesday, I'm driving around in my truck. Now, we had a powerful weekend up on the mountain, the men's retreat. Powerful, Spirit-moving weekend. Sunday, came to church. We had powerful church, right? I'm preaching on the power of the Holy Spirit and what it's like being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it was great. I preached good. It was awesome. And Monday came, and everything's good. And Tuesday, I'm driving to my car. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Tuesday. And I've been, okay, so I haven't smoked in a long time. It's been a long time since I smoked, but I started chewing tobacco to quit smoking. Then I started chewing the nicotine gum to quit dipping. And then I've chewed the nicotine gum for years. I just did it. I just Didn't, you know, no harm, no foul. I just went from 4 milligram to 2 milligram and just kind of cruised on the 2 milligram and just cruised. Didn't get convicted. I often thought it was, you know, this is a thorn in my side, you know, to keep me like humble and, you know, I'm being honest. This is my justification, whatever. So I'm driving to my truck 4 o'clock and God just like, he's so funny. He just opens my eyes to see, I mean, like, and look, if you still smoke or whatever, it's all good, man. This is between me and God. I'm just telling you that he does things with, he's got a sense of humor too. He shows me how stupid I look. Because I'm like, the power of God will deliver you. You know what I mean? I'm opening up this little 2 milligram and I'm feeding the flesh. Because that's what it is, feeding the flesh, right? I'm bound to this because you know what? When God showed me and he's like, you look so stupid. I love you. You know, it was like that, but it was like, oh my God, I don't know. I just connected the dots and it was like, well, I have to do this. And I said, F you, devil, I'm done. You know? And I took all the gum in my truck and I threw it away. But see, he spoke to my potential. Dude, you don't have to do this. And it was just for me. And it did enough. See, one word from God. Look, I quit. And I mean, it was hard. Okay? Because like the next day, the body's all, dude, what are you doing? God, nicotine's good. You know what I mean? Dude. And I'm, you know, and I'm already, remember I asked God to take my anger too. So now I'm like, God, I'm not angry in the name of Jesus. Day in the life of Pastor Chris. But I'm being real, and I share that with you because, wow, you know, like God spoke to my destiny. Like, dude, you don't have to do this. And he like connected the dots and all I did was partner with him. You know, I stepped into that. I hear you. I hear you believe in me. Well, then I believe in me too. That's all that was. That's why I share that with you. You know, and it could be in any facet of your life. I'm saying that that's the kind of dad we have. You know, he does it, and he's, listen, if I would have picked up right on God and put another thing in my mouth, he would have been okay with me too. But he's a good dad, and he gave me that moment. So there'll be moments in our life, especially when we're bound by stuff, where we have a choice. He's a good dad. He's like, look, I got this window open for you right now, man. You know what I mean? There's willingness there. Take it and run with it. I want you to listen to those moments. Because that's a real thing from God. If you want to quit smoking or something, I get it. It is hard. But if God gives you a moment, and you'll know it. Because it's like, you will know, you know what? I could set these things down right now. And I could get through this. Right now, this moment. But I'd have to throw everything away. It's going to be a huge commitment. But I'm telling you, take that. Take it. Take that moment. God will do that for you. If you truly, you know, want to get set free, he's a good dad and he wants you free from anything, bitterness, anger, you know, insecurities, your past for sure. He wants you to be able to acknowledge your past, but there's no ties. Your past does not dictate your future anymore with God. He's got a purpose and a plan from your life. And it don't matter what happened to you. He's got a plan for you that precedes that. He will use some of that stuff because it made you who you are. It's valuable, but it don't dictate your future and your happiness and your freedom in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, all these things that we talked about today, we got to close. And that's cool because I'm done. It's hard to master all these qualities, okay? But the potential's there. I mean, it's there for our taking. You know, God says we can have it. We can operate in that. So I just want to encourage all of us. Listen, One, if you didn't have a good dad, you do. You got one. And he loves you. And he ain't splitting on you. He ain't, you know what I mean? He's not an alcoholic. He's all good. He's all good. And he's praying for you. He's paying attention to you. And he's got a plan for you. He's asking you to just run alongside of him, hang out with him, listen to the words he's speaking over your life. He wants you to hear those and live those out. Amen? Amen. So, if you could all stand up, because some people, you've never, you know, there's something about getting a blessing from your father. A blessing. And, you know, having a father pray a blessing over you. And some of you never got that. And look, I know that I'm younger than some of you, but God has put me in this position of being a spiritual father to you. So I wanted to pray a blessing over you this morning, all of you, in case you never got one. Amen? So just extend your hands, get ready to receive. Father God, I pray a blessing over your church. I bless the greatness inside of them, Father. I pray that you give them eyes to see how great they are. I pray you give them eyes to see how valuable they are. Father, I pray you'd send provision and gifts into their life right now in the name of Jesus that will cause them to grab hold and live life at a higher level. In fact, God, I speak that over them right now, that they will live life at a higher level after today. Glory to glory and faith to faith. We say yes and amen, Father. So I bless their potential. All the potential and the gifts that you've got inside of them, bring them forth out into their lives, God, so they can be blessed and bless others. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys.